Hello and welcome to the Believers Anonymous podcast, hosted by Fola Shade and ID. On this podcast, we dive into important topics that burden the minds of Christians every now and then. It's a safe space where we can be open about struggles and find answers through the wisdom of God. Now sit back and enjoy.
Welcome back to the Believers Anonymous podcast.
We are your host, ID and
Fola Shade.
Bringing you some good tidings.
We have our first question from an anonymous believer.
Mm-hmm.
And
do you want to read it?
Okay, so yeah, I'll read this. I've struggled with my Christian life, especially in my relationship. Sexual sin to be precise. Everything is going smoothly. It's just that I keep going against my quest to be celibate. I find it hard to stand strong on my words. I think I need help. And I feel I'm a hypocrite and futile before God. I'm just tired of always asking for forgiveness. I tried looking for a small Christian community I can join, but really I can't find one. So this is a multifaceted question. So
yeah.
Targeting devotion, fellowship, and of course sexual sin.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what are your thoughts on this?
I think we should address the fact that like, a believer is, like, once you have believed or decided to believe in Christ and receive the life of Christ, you are redeemed forever, and nothing you can or cannot do can change that. Yes, we are called to live a life free of sin. We are called to live free because we are free, because God has set us free.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not, like, encouraging sin or saying that we should go ahead and do what we want to do. But it is not by what we, it will never be by what we can do.
Yeah.
And thank God for that. Yeah. So if throughout the epistles, we see, we don't just see the apostles saying, you are saved by grace through faith, we are saved by the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus. We don't just see them emphasizing that. We see them calling the churches that they wrote to a life that is in alignment with what God has called us to. So yes, there was a balance, but one thing for sure was that our status in Christ was not by what we did or did not do.
Yeah.
So yes, when it comes to always asking for forgiveness, I hope that this lady, that you don't think that you are unsaved because you have fallen.
Yeah,
it doesn't change. Yes, you should strive to be better, but it doesn't change.
God loves you regardless of your fallings, and because I mean, he has anticipated all of this, that we're not perfect, so he knows that we'll keep sinning, and then that's why he died for our past, present, and future sins, so that in him, like, he sees us and he sees righteousness. He sees righteous people after the order of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So, asking for forgiveness, because I mean, the Bible says remission of sins only comes by shedding of blood. So, asking for forgiveness, do you want to keep putting Jesus on the cross? Do you want to keep shedding blood?
Exactly. That's one thing that people don't know. It's not by asking.
It's
by blood.
That's why, and like, Jesus, they had to use bulls and rams and goats in the old days, because blood had to be shed. And that's why Jesus Christ's blood had to be shed for our sake. He couldn't have just died by sleeping.
Exactly. Jesus, those bulls, rams, and animals were a representation of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And what they did, they had to keep doing it over and over again.
Yeah.
But what Christ did was once and for all.
Hallelujah. And
yeah, so he can't come. Like, you asking for forgiveness is like saying, and thinking that you're unsaved and he has to save you again, it's like saying, Jesus, come and die again.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't be remorseful. You can talk about it with God, and you can, you know, pray about it and ask that you want to live a better life and ask for help and assistance, because the Holy Spirit is always here to help us. But I feel like this always asking for forgiveness is coming from a place of always feeling condemned.
And
yeah, we should never feel condemned, because we are never condemned.
He hasn't condemned us. Romans 8 verse 1. There's therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So you're not condemned. Okay, so then moving on to another part of the question where she asked about she's struggling, especially in her relationship, because she keeps falling back into sexual sin.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that kind of brings the question in. First of all, are you dating the believer?
Yeah.
Because like, there's high chances that if you're not dating a believer, you will fall. Because they don't understand why we don't have sex till we're married. They just don't get it. Because, I mean, especially in the world today, like 21st century, Gen Zs, everybody's gingering.
Yeah, exactly.
Their blood is hot and they want to seal the deal ASAP. So, like, it'll be a lot harder if you're not definitely dating a believer. So, first of all, for someone in this kind of situation is to know, okay, do I then shoot myself in the leg by dating an unbeliever? Mm-hmm. And what if you're now dating a believer? Then it also comes to the point of, okay, have you guys talked about this thing? Like,
what is the person's level of consecration?
Exactly. What's the person's expectation? Do they want to also be celibate to marriage?
Mm-hmm.
Or like, do they feel like that one, God already gave us a ginger inside of us? So
yeah, exactly.
This is how just explore them.
Oh my God, I've had a guy tell me this thing. This is how I am. Why did God create me this way? This is how I am. Like, I can't change who I am. Like, God, like a lot of people,
delayed gratification. God also created you with that.
Exactly. Exactly. There are a lot of things that work with. Are you kidding?
Yeah, so it's also just like, okay, have you spoken to him about it? And then if you've spoken to him, because this is a question from a lady, so that's why we're like referring to him as the yeah. So if you've spoken to him and he's like, no, me, I want to be doing this thing every week, that kind of thing, then are you willing to continue that way? Or give him breakfast?
Weigh your options. Like, am I willing to give up my devotion and my walk with God for this relationship that I have in the long run? Like, how valuable is this relationship for me if I am trying to be this way, like celibate and, you know, taking my walk with God seriously and trying to abstain from certain things, and we can't even reach an agreement with that? First of all, he's not on the same page, and secondly, he doesn't see what you see as important. Do you get, like, going forward, how valuable is that relationship in the grand scheme of things? Is it what you want to settle for?
Is it someone you want to get married to?
Exactly.
If he cannot delay gratification now, or if he doesn't even understand some core principles of the Bible, like, I mean, the Bible definitely preaches against premarital sex. So, is this someone you want to live your life with for the rest of your life, who doesn't want to subject himself to being led by the Spirit or even following the Bible? So, I mean, as a believer, you're in a very touchy spot in that kind of situation.
Well, sorry, sis, but we don't know if that's you should continue. So, hate to break it to you.
Yeah.
But we don't, seriously. Like, I feel like when people ask this question, they are looking for another way out.
Mm-hmm.
And because normally, like, logically, you know what to do.
Yeah, you actually, because you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, so he has told you what to do.
Exactly.
But you're like, no, Holy Spirit.
You don't want it to be that answer.
Not this one.
You want something else. If the guy is not on the same page with you now, chances are he won't be on the same page with you tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I mean about the abstaining. Like, there's nothing, like, even if you take care of it within yourself, both of you have to be on the same page, because at the end of the day, you just go back to him and you go back to square one.
Yeah.
So it's not something that you can do on your own. Both of you have to be on the same page in a matter as important as this. Otherwise, one along the line, you just end up giving up on yourself. Like, I cannot do it again.
Yeah.
I've tried. It's not working. I should kukuma just remain in the world and be doing the doings.
And the fact that your heart is being nudged and you know that this is not actually right is a fact that, I mean, God is still working in you. So he is still at work in you 100%. So don't feel like, oh, God is not there with me in this situation. He is actually there with you. That's why you keep having this nudge of, oh, I feel this isn't right. I want to do something about it.
Yeah.
So definitely remember that God is with you through this process.
Mm-hmm.
But he also wants you to take the next step. And, okay, not just, I feel bad, I don't want to do this. It's, okay, am I ready to let go of this guy?
Because
God doesn't approve of this.
Yeah, exactly.
Am I willing to actually just let this guy go and then have and be patient for the guy who is mine and who we understand biblical principles, like abstinence from sex before marriage. So that's actually what God wants for us. He doesn't want us to, I mean, he has plenty of his children outside. We are plenty.
We're actually plenty.
So like we gather day.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's a lot more other people you would meet who are even more amazing than this particular guy you're dating. So you just have to let yourself feel the pain, of course, and then just let him know and then walk away, because in the long run this will be better for you and your relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
And then putting yourself in this state is just going to keep affecting your relationship. We've actually been through that. All of us have been through this kind
Bro.
Of thing.
Hmm.
And we know, say,
the death,
the prayer. We'll be doing what? The connection to God used to have killing. No, it's actually not a good thing. And the truth is, the earlier you run, the better.
The better. Sis.
I mean, relationship with God is more important than any guy or anybody. And if you, fixing that relationship with God is very keen, and God actually wants you to do that. So
yeah.
He wants you to leave, sadly.
Yeah. Sadly, but truly.
Yeah.
There's also like the aspect of what if it's both of them that are together, like struggling.
Mm-hmm.
What if both of them want to be better? I mean, one solution could be still breaking up. Sometimes it's best to separate yourself from the person and heal and grow apart from each other.
Yeah.
But I don't, it depends. Like, if he really wants to change and if he really wants, and this is not me saying you should go and say, oh, do you want to change to somebody who clearly doesn't want to change? And then when he says yes,
is it by saying, do you want to change?
And then when he gives you a little sign, you now take that 0.11. I'd be like, yes, he wants to change. I should hold on. No.
Almost.
If you know he's not the same page with you, be realistic.
Yeah.
But like, there are some cases where you can actually like together try to get through it.
Yeah, so like one of those would be like going to see a counselor, so maybe relationship counselor. And then, of course, most likely, the relationship is going to tell you because you're not married, you push you. But then definitely still see one, because like, if it's a relationship that you feel like...
A Christian counselor, by the way.
A Christian, yes, yes, yes. Okay, this is Christian. Believers Anonymous. So yeah, we're talking about biblical believers principles, yeah.
Exactly.
But yes, so definitely see a counselor and then just explain your struggles to them, and then... And pray to God together about it, to be fair. Pray to God together about it. And
even your pastors or like people in church that you trust, you can talk to them. There's something about people who are surrendered to the Lordship of Christ. Like they know not to judge immediately.
Yeah.
And they know how to maturely handle situations in a way that God will have them handle those situations.
Yeah.
So you can always feel comfortable with talking to certain people about these things.
Yeah, I mean, accountability is very important in like the body of Christ. Like, you have to be accountable to someone. You can't say, "Nah, me, only me and God did this thing." It's actually gonna work out.
Yeah,
you have to be like accountable to someone who you trust, who's like a spiritual leader or who's like a spiritual authority over your life. So like, when you guys, maybe after a while you guys have both changed and like made new commitments, be able to be accountable to that person so that you don't fall back into those sins, because you know that there's someone who's gonna call you out and be like, guys, you're not doing the right thing, you're not walking on the right path and stuff like that. So I mean, this doesn't mean if you've been in sexual sin in the past, doesn't mean like there's no way forward for you. But now it's from now, what do you want to do to make the change going forward?
Yeah.
And not make sure you go back into where you're coming from. Because I mean, we all fall into sin time and time. But like, it's just the decision to be like, I want to change this. Because I have Spirit of God in me.
Yeah.
And this is not my true reality. I'm just succumbing to the flesh right now. So I can walk in the Spirit and start out not fulfill the desires of the flesh.
Yeah.
Exactly. So you both can do it, yeah.
Yeah. And also some practical things like... Boundaries. Like, why are you people? You know that you've had sex before. You know you're attracted
to these bubbles.
Just even if you've not even like had sexual relations, like you're attracted to the person, and then you will be having like long, private, quiet
in times the room.
Together. I'm telling you, and you're just like cuddling, like it's just
watching. Netflix.
You're setting yourself up.
Netflix and chill.
Like beyond a particular, let's just even state out the boundaries off the top of my head. Beyond a particular time, go home, sister, brother, yeah. Go home.
When you start to see that the darkness is falling.
Yes, even before
carry your bags and move.
Move, be going. And it's just nice if you want to be together, like let it be on a date, like go out together. But if you are going to be I'm not saying don't ever be together alone in each other's houses, but like let it not be a frequent,
consistent, all times. Every time you go and meet his house,
exactly. Like minimize it, keep it at a minimum, at least like even if you don't go out like a park or something, like geez, those
little things. Like strolls, just more things so that you're not always just in a space where darkness, the light, the bedroom is cozy, blanket is warm, like you're feeling cold, it's raining. I just want to those kind of things,
to just creep up because. Because let's be honest, people are attracted to each other. Like, body no be firewood. Like, all of us are human beings. We are humans. Like,
I wish you could be robots, but no, we are not.
Flowing to our veins. And, you know, hormones are alive and active. Mm-hmm. There's no level of, and that's the thing that we need to know. There's no level of spirituality that you ever grow to that you'll not be susceptible to temptation.
Yeah.
Like, there's no level that you stop being human or you stop feeling certain things. Mm-hmm. So it's just what differentiates someone who is spiritually mature from someone who is spiritually immature is the ability to create and stick to the boundaries that they have set.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just, like, start practicing, like, boundaries.
Maturity is delayed gratification.
Yeah, exactly. Just start writing. See, it's like, write out things that are triggers to you. Write out these things and just, yeah, just be strict with it. Be accountable to other people and set boundaries with each other.
Yeah, and go out more in public places. Okay, so yeah, I mean, you're struggling with your devotion and all of that. So right now, like, how can you go through that? How can you overcome the struggles of your devotion? And how can you put yourself back on track spiritually? Yeah. So for me, I would just say it's very important for you to understand that, of course, God definitely loves you and he loves to spend time with you. So having that mindset shift from, oh, God's angry with me to God wants me.
Mm-hmm.
Is like the first step, and also like committing yourself to spiritual activities. So definitely studying your Bible, because I know like there were so many times where like I fell back into like sexual sin and stuff, and then just reading maybe the book of Romans just made me this is who I am.
Wake up.
Who are you, sexual sin? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, like just reading the Bible and then just realizing your identity in Christ. Mm-hmm. So just give you that assurance that this is who you are, and then you start to conform to who you actually are.
Yeah.
So yeah, taking Bible study important, and also prayer, like definitely we can't read your Bible.
Pray every day.
That's it, no be joking. It's actually very, very important for
I'm telling you, very useful.
For your sanity,
to be honest.
Actually true. Yeah, so definitely like talk to God about it. And aside from me, just the sexual sins you're going through, but like strive to have a better relationship with God, communicate mm-hmm. with Him. Just pray generally and just let God know your heart for Him and know that I'm your G, God. Yeah. And yeah, we've got this together. And also like fellowship as well, because oh my God,
mm-hmm.
take yourself out of fellowship for 1 week, you'll see.
You feel it.
And you now put yourself, maybe like you remove yourself from fellowship, you now go to the world. Ha! Those guys in the world, they do pass. No, those guys are extreme. Even if you have the Spirit of God in you, but if you just start the thing, say, if you like say, I just want to practice this experience. I'm probably speaking in too much coded language, but I think you understand what I'm saying. So basically, taking yourself getting back to fellowship is a danger. Like, yeah. So definitely find a good church. I mean, we attend CCI. I would definitely recommend finding a CCI campus. Celebration Church International, that's what CCI is. Maybe close to you. Even a Bible-believing church that is, you can tell that this church, they are not just being religious. They're actually
they're teaching the profound truth.
Exactly, exactly. So find yourself. Fellowship is so important. Like,
mm-hmm.
You cannot become what you don't behold. Exactly. Yeah.
What you surround yourself with matters.
Yeah, so you have to surround yourself with the right environment, the right energy. Christians, like, because that will help put you back. Fellowship is super, super, super important. Yeah, so...
Yeah, and I feel like when it comes to, like, getting back to that place, there's a lot of things that can hinder somebody, like... just not feeling it, like you've been away for too long and you're just not feeling it, or there's guilt, you don't feel worthy, and also you're just actually not feeling like praying or studying or being in that place. And it takes time to, like, it takes a little bit of time to get into that rhythm of you know, being consistent in prayer and Bible study and just like getting there. So if you, it's like, have you ever sat down to complete a task and you were procrastinating because you didn't feel like doing it?
Yeah.
But in the middle of it...
Procrastinate, pa.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, at the beginning, you're just like, oh, I don't want to do this. But when you get to the middle, like, you get into a flow type of thing. And you're like, why didn't I start?
Yeah, and it starts actually seem fun. Sometimes in my assignments, that happens.
Exactly. So, it's like that. Like, if you give up at the beginning, not just in a particular prayer session, but, like, in... inconsistent everyday prayer, if you give up because at first it is just not flowing, you might not get to that point where you get to that rhythm of consistent and, you know, constant fellowship with the Holy Spirit that is beautiful and, you know, that we all enjoy as believers, or we should all enjoy as believers. So I think that when it comes to that, one thing that helps is disregarding our feelings.
Absolutely, completely.
Like, I feel like a lot of times when, like, learning that particular thing helped my prayer life a lot, because there were a lot of times that I'm like, I used to feel this way before, and I feel like now I'm not feeling it anymore. Is God not here? It's not. And you have to learn to, like, completely ignore your feelings, because if you know God, you know that He's always there. So how are you going to convince yourself that He's not, that when you pray, He's not listening? It's not true. So you have to just leave your feelings aside, because they will deceive you. They are fickle. They're going to deceive you. And if you don't have to be feeling shivers down your spine. I know that when you come on social media and you see, like, a lot of Christian creatives and Christian influencers, they make you feel as if they are on cloud 9 or cloud 12. And maybe they may be for a season, but to be honest, like, on a day-to-day basis, most of the time we're not going to feel like it, and that doesn't matter, because we know that God hears us whether or not we feel like it. And that's something that everybody needs to know, like, disregard your feelings. And another thing that helps is, apart from disregarding your feelings, there's a way that you can tune yourself, like, you can make yourself want to pray and want to study. And for me, or I think generally, is just by doing other things, like, for example,
a message.
Listening to a message, a podcast, or a
music.
Sermon, or music.
Yeah.
Or if I'm even reading a book. There was a time I was reading this particular book, and I just felt like my walk with God, that whole season, just felt, you know, like, so much
elevated,
better. Because there was something that was constantly inspiring me, there was something that was constantly taking me to my knees, like, I'm always, I'm reading these experiences, I'm seeing these things, and I'm like, wow, oh God, I'm like, there's something to pray about, there's a page that makes me pray prayer, and, you know, these things subconsciously help. So when we don't feel like in that place where we want to fellowship with God, there are things that we can do to take us there. So it's just a balance, like doing those things and also recognizing that you should not depend on your feelings to go on your knees and pray. And yeah, just having the knowledge of those things will help you like get your mojo back when it comes to like having devotion and constant fellowship with God. Yeah.
Yeah, just to add to the point that Adi just mentioned and like reading books, because I know like there were so many times when it's about that time, I think it was like a long time ago, I was reading God's General, and then oh my God, rush. Wow. Like I mean, I literally wanted to just leave the world and serve the Lord. Like I was so focused on God because of the book was inspiring. So I know we do this in our career a lot. We want to follow people on LinkedIn that like are inspiring, they are doing great stuff. People follow people on social media that are doing great stuff. But like for our spiritual life, we just leave it. Yeah. Like we happen naturally. Like it, no, it also takes a lot of work. So keeping yourself inspired with like fathers of the faith. I mean, there's so many fathers of the faith. Watch Manique,
Kenneth Hagin.
They're like EWK, you know, they're like so many really that we even like right now, even like in the church today, the boys people have gone ahead, Pastor Chris, and then I've gone ahead. So like keeping yourself motivated, buying those books and just inspiring you to know that this relationship with God, it can be sweet. Yeah. And you can have that relationship with God like these people have. And it's actually possible.
Yeah.
Exactly. So just keeping yourself inspired, listen to messages, and like we said earlier, you cannot become what you do not behold. So you have to keep these things at the very front of you. Read, start to let your mind be occupied with the things of Christ. You know how the Bible says, whatever things are pure, good, think on those things. This is what should cloud your mind. Like if your mind is empty,
there's space for contradiction.
But like when you're feeding on biblical things, you're feeding on God's word, you're feeding on materials that for spiritual growth, like man, you be on fire.
So it helps. Like why do I keep forgetting this verse of scripture? Walk in the spirit and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the laws. Or is it laws or lusts? Lusts. Walk in the
spirit. Walk in the spirit. You should listen to the
walk in the spirit and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh.
I think that's Romans 8.
Anyway, so just focus on feeding yourself with the right things and you know, some things will just start falling off. Like, have you ever experienced this thing where, like, you pray, and in that moment of prayer, like, those things that felt like they
it just felt had, so
it felt so insignificant. It felt like, oh wow, like I can't believe I felt at a point like I was so in bondage to this thing. Like at this moment, I feel like I can walk over anything. So imagine you're on that level constantly. That's what walking in the spirit does for you. Yeah, ultimately, now God to help us.
First episode to answer the question.
Thank you listening. And send in your questions. We're excited to answer and to talk about it together.
Yeah. I was really glad hanging out with you guys here.
Yeah.
And hopefully we'll see you on the next episode.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode. We hope you were blessed and you learned from it. See you again next time.